After I finished college, I moved out of my parents' house. I wanted a new life, sort of fresh and far away from my hometown. It's not like I hated my parents or couldn't stand them in any way. They were great and supportive. I just wanted to escape this hole I was living in and finally taste the adult life. There was really nothing to do here, and I wanted to try life in a big city. Unfortunately, after a month, I was already running out of money. I couldn't find a job in my industry, so I had to settle for anything that could pay my rent for the next month. The closest job to me was at a Dunkin' Donuts. I applied for this job, and I was immediately hired. The first few weeks were hard, but later I actually enjoyed working there. I met some awesome people. One of them was Nina. We were getting along so well that we requested our supervisor to always sign us both in on the same shift. It was never that busy there, so we spent most of our time talking and gossiping. She was a really happy person, and I was in a similar position in life as me. Her parents kicked her out of the house when she was 18, but she had to work hard to finish her education and pay rent. I always supported her, and she gave me as much as she could back. We really became best friends. And that's how my life was. I was working at Dunkin' for about half a year now, and things were going great until a really strange man appeared into my life. He would always visit us on Friday evenings, and this consistency only added to the creepiness of his behavior. He used to order a cappuccino with one chocolate ring donut every single time. He was always wearing the same clothes, which was really weird and gross. It was a hideous green jacket with brown stains and dirty, roughed up blue trousers. After making an order, he would always sit in the same exact table and would stare at me and Nina intensely. Of course, this never really bothered me at first. I considered myself a pretty decent looking girl and have had a man's eye on my body here and there. But the way this man was staring at me, there was something disgusting about it. Made me sick to my stomach. I think it was more uncomfortable for Nina than me. She got really scared of him and told me she was afraid of him. But one day, he stayed longer than usual. It was almost closing hour and there were no more other customers. It was raining outside and Nina and I were sitting behind the counter and talking as usual. I was getting really annoyed because I knew I was the one with the key. I had to close the door, it was my closing shift, and I would inevitably have to be the one to ask him to leave. Our manager had already left the building by now, and it was just Nina, the man, and I. But right as I was going to go up to him and ask him to leave, he stood up and came to the counter. "How can I help you? Do you want anything else?" I asked. "I'm not hungry," he said, and there was a really long, awkward silence. I didn't really know what to say, so I just stared at the floor and waited for him to say something. "But I'm horny," he said, laughing. At that point, I was so anxious and embarrassed. I didn't even say anything back because I was just so confused and taken aback. "Come on, I was joking," the man said. "I've been visiting this place from time to time, and I noticed a really pretty lady here. I'd love to get to know her closer, if you know what I mean." He laughed awkwardly. Nina and I looked at each other with wide eyes. I turned my head back to the man and told him, "Sorry, but I'm seeing someone." "I'm not talking about you," the man said, "but your friend over there. Can you ask her for her number?" He then started to stare at Nina, eyes and mouth wide open. It took me a second or two to realize, but I noticed his arm was shuffling around. I looked closer in. His hand was in his pants. This sick bastard was masturbating as he was talking to us. "You better leave right now, or I'm calling the police," I screamed. Nina was about to cry, but I stayed strong and tried to protect her. He tried to jump over the counter and grab Nina, but thankfully I knocked him over the edge and he landed on his head. We ran. We ran as fast as we could. We never looked back. When we got to safety, we called our manager, who called the police. The cops were quick in telling us that the man had gotten away, and they closed the case shortly after because there was really nothing they could do. As disappointing as this was, Nina and I were just happy that the man was off our backs. It seemed like things would go back to normal. A few days passed by and I almost forgot about him. Everything seemed to be back to normal and I enjoyed working with my best friend as a barista. Eventually, Nina and I had another closing shift. The day was ending and We were cleaning up the tables and preparing the building to get locked up. Nina eventually left for her usual smoke break. She left her stuff inside and went out through the back door, popped open a cigarette. After about half an hour, I realized that Nina still wasn't back in the store. This was odd. It would usually take Nina only about 10 minutes to take a cigarette break, and she'd never just leave work like this, not with her stuff left behind anyways. It made no sense. Her phone and her wallet were still in the store. I then remembered the man, and my heart and mind started to race. I instantly started worrying for the worst. I looked in the back of the store and she wasn't there. I looked in the back patio and there was no sign of her. Just a still-lit cigarette lying on the ground. I called my manager and he called the police. We searched all night for her, looked up and down and couldn't seem to find her. It made no sense. Even the police were stumped. It's like she disappeared into thin air. That night, I could barely sleep. I knew the police were handling it, but I just wanted to know where she was. How could she disappear like this? A few grim and horrible days went by, and I got the news, but it wasn't the news I wanted. Nina was found dead in the woods, her body stripped half naked. She was violated and murdered, and we all knew who the culprit was. The police found the man not far away from the crime scene. He was staying in an old, dingy trailer. The man got life in prison, but this wouldn't fix the years of PTSD and mental health issues I'd have following this. I soon quit my job at Dunkin'. It was the right thing to do. I couldn't work there. Not after what happened to Nina.
2017, I managed to land myself a part-time job at my local Walmart here in Thornton, Colorado. A fairly large suburb of Denver, Brighton, is many things. Close-knit, homely, but it's hardly the most exciting place in the world. I think that's why Halloween is one of my favorite times of year. We take the holiday pretty seriously, so the anticipation and build-up to the spookiest night in the calendar is something I really look forward to. The majority of work at Walmart during that time of year involves sorting and arranging displays for all the novelty Halloween products that are stocked during October. It was hard work, sure, but getting to mess around with all kinds of masks, costumes, and ghoulish accessories was actually really fun, even if it did cause our grumpy old supervisor to glare at us down the aisles. Halloween came and went, but I found myself kind of enjoying working at Walmart. I know that sounds crazy. The customers can be awful and the hours are pretty long, but I had grown close to my coworkers. There were even one or two that I would go so far as to call friends. So naturally, when one of the store managers asked if I wanted to extend my contract into the new year, I jumped at the chance. It would be one of the biggest mistakes of my life so far. The morning of November 1st, 2017 was a gray one. One of those mornings where the world couldn't be any less inviting. All I wanted to do was crawl back into bed and sleep away the day. But still, I dragged myself into the shower, washing away the cobwebs and preparing to face the day. I was due on from 10:30 until 6:30 that evening. I hated the longer weekday shifts. They had a tendency to drag. But the thought of getting a cup of coffee from my coworker, Teresa, who happened to make the best flat white this side of the Rockies, spurred me on to make it work on time. I was right. The day dragged on so bad I thought I was going to go crazy. The part-time weekend shifts were busy, but at least the activity made the time fly. Spending hours at a time counting endless boxes of merchandise as part of some pointless make-work-stock-take is enough to make your brain congeal. By the time 6 p.m. rolled around, I was about ready to give up. With so little time left on the clock, I found myself watching the minutes roll by, wandering around the store and pretending to look busy. I saw my friend Miguel hanging around near the front desk and struck up a casual conversation with him in an effort to kill another few minutes. That's when I saw him. I'd like to think I'm not an overly judgmental person, but this guy gave me the creeps right away. He was dressed pretty normally, a black leather jacket and reddish shirt, but it was the man's face that drew my eyes away from Miguel and caused a nervous feeling to run through me. He was pale, almost sickly looking. His cheeks were gaunt, his eyes ringed by black circles, sunken back into their sockets. It looked like a skull with nothing but a thin layer of flesh to disguise it. Miguel must have noticed the look on my face because he too turned to look. I suppose it was for the best that I reacted that way to seeing him. I think it might have saved both our lives. When I look back on it now, it's like time kind of slowed down for a few minutes. I know that's like a super cliched thing you only find in movies, but now I think there's kind of some truth in it. I remember every little moment, every little detail of those few seconds. The way his jacket, a few sizes too big for him, looked almost silly as he reached into the inside pocket. The way the polished metal of his handgun seemed to glint in the bright, artificial light of the store. I watched as the man looked around for a second or two, scanning the shop floor for his first victim, before he raised the pistol and fired. I was completely and utterly horrified. I would come to understand that there are three common reactions to a sudden rush of fear, the first two being the well-known fight-or-flight responses, but there's also one that no one ever seems to talk about. Total shutdown. Unfortunately, that's what I experienced as the deafening bang of the first pistol shot echoed around the building and an unsuspecting customer collapsed to the floor. The older man dragged his shopping cart down with him, the contents spilling out as he lay bleeding on the ground. I couldn't move. I was just frozen to the spot. I had never seen anyone shot and only ever heard a gun fired like once or twice. I felt myself trembling. But for the life of me, I couldn't bring myself to flee the horrific scene of violence unfolding before us. Thankfully, Miguel did not have the same reaction. He grabbed me by my arm, so hard it left a bruise, and dragged me behind a display of kitchen appliances to take cover from the shooter. All I could do was hang on to him and pray that the shots would stop. They didn't. Over and over again, the skull-faced man fired at staff and customers alike. I remember hearing this horrible cracking sound, like right next to us as we crouched behind the heavy appliances. I would later learn that this was the sound of the high-speed pieces of lead breaking the sound barrier as they traveled within a few inches of us. Just the thought makes me feel sick, even today. Suddenly, Miguel was pulling me by the arm again as we rushed towards one of the emergency exits that lined the shop floor. Shots were still ringing out as Miguel crashed into the metal bar that opens the door. The pop of the bullets still heard as we spilled out into the freezing Colorado night. Before us were two young children, maybe only about 7 or 8 years old. They were crying, asking for their dad. Those poor things had no idea what was going on, only that a bad, bad thing was happening and they couldn't find their father. We tried to comfort them for a few moments while the sound of police sirens grew louder and louder until the parking lot was awash with the blue flashing lights of cop cars and other emergency vehicles. We eventually reunited the kids with their father, and he openly wept as he thanked us for finding his children. Miguel was struggling to hold back the tears, but I had completely broken down by that point. Many people had. In the aftermath of the shooting, a 48-year-old man named Scott Ostrom was arrested and charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder. Ostrom was handed down 3 life sentences for the 3 people he shot and killed, plus another 48 years for the other victims that were lucky enough to have survived his bullets. During the sentencing, the presiding judge said that the killer had a black and malignant heart fatally bent on spreading fear, misery, and death. It was also brought up that Ostrom's sister said that he had never been the same since trying LSD in the 80s. No other motives were given for his crimes. I quit my job at Walmart and went to therapy for a while after the shootings. I felt a lot of survivor's guilt at first, wondering why Ostrom didn't choose me for his first victim, why those other people had to suffer the way they did while people like me got to walk away unscathed. But I mostly just thank God that Miguel was there to save me. Life is very precious, a fragile thing that can be snuffed out in an instant, so I try to live as full a life as I can, if only for the people who innocently shopping that day, unaware that they would never see their loved ones ever again. I work as part of the loss prevention team at my local Walmart. No, I'm not saying where. I don't want to lose my job. I really need the money. The incident I'm about to tell you about actually made national news too, and with the loss prevention team being so small, this whole story could be easily traced back to me. I hate my job. Yeah, I know I said I needed it, but that doesn't mean I don't despise it. I don't like spying on people, but unfortunately that's just what the job entails. Wandering around the aisles, staring at the CCTV, watching for someone walking too fast or acting nervously, it can get really boring sometimes. Sure, there's a little action every now and then. Some methods tries to steal a DVD player or something. We get to play cops and robbers for like half an hour until the real police show up. But half the time it's just sad. Some young, dumb addict breaking down in our office, telling us she didn't want it to be this way. Yeah, I didn't either. No one did. That's not even half of it, too. You know how angry a lone black guy can get if he thinks I'm following him around the store. I've been called racist more times than I can remember. I'm not. I'm just trying to do the job I hate so much, but it still sucks. You really see the worst in people working in loss prevention. But the weirdest thing I ever saw while working for Walmart wasn't a junkie thief or an armed robber or anything like that. It was something else entirely. So this guy comes walking through the doors one afternoon. Nothing particularly unusual about him. Nothing to give us loss prevention guys any suspicion. I take my eye off of him for a little while, patrolling the store as it was my turn to do so, instead of watching the cameras. I just sort of forget about the guy, you know? I mean, you try to take note of little details, but you do it with so many people that no one in particular stays in your mind, unless they're, like, really shady looking. I wander back around towards the meat aisle, casually keeping an eye on various shoppers, when I see this guy again, the normal-looking dude. He's balding, has a blue shirt on, and is just standing there checking out all the steaks, chops, and cutlets sitting in the fridge units. Again, nothing unusual, but here's where it starts getting weird. As I'm walking past the dude, his head sort of snaps towards me. I remember he had light-colored eyes that looked almost empty. I said hi or whatever, just greeted the dude, and this big wide smile stretches across his face. The guy had no teeth. Not a single tooth remained in this guy's head. Just two rows of diseased-looking gums that I had to stop myself recoiling from. I just tried not to react. I felt kind of sad for him. Maybe he's lost his dentures or something. I wouldn't judge, you know? So I do another loop of the store, watching families to try to rein in screaming kids as impatient singletons tut in their direction. I thought about how much I want kids myself, even if they can be rascals. It's something my mind wanders too often when I'm bored on the job. But as I'm coming back towards the meat aisle, something immediately strikes me as abnormal. The blue-shirted balding guy is still looking at the meat. Only this time, he's not just, like, looking at all the meat. He's staring at it. It looked like maybe one steak in particular had caught his eye or something. They weren't darting around like they were before. This time when I walk past him, he doesn't look up. He doesn't even move. He's just frozen to the spot, staring down into the fridge units with this dead look in his eyes. I mean, I seriously don't think he even blinked, and I watched him for a good few seconds. After this guy, I didn't take my usual loop around the store. I stopped at the end of the meat aisle, watching this guy slyly out of the corner of my eye. He didn't move an inch. It was seriously like one of those street mimes. Normal people never really stand still. They fidget, shift their weight from foot to foot. This guy was honestly as still as a statue. And it was really creepy. I called it in on the radio asking a coworker about the balding man in the meat aisle, if he was known to the loss prevention team. Came back negative. The guy I was working with that day had never seen our toothless friend before in his life. So as I'm watching the guy, still listening to my buddy on the radio, the toothless man begins to reach into my meat fridge and pick up a large sirloin steak, still packed in plastic. I start feeling like an idiot. Maybe the guy just likes to take his time selecting his steak. He is toothless, after all. Maybe he needs the right kind for his dentures. I don't know. Go figure. Then he brings the steak up to his nose. taking a long, deep sniff of this thing through the plastic wrapper. Now, I know this guy is obviously nuts. I know the crazy kids when I see them, and this is classic crazy. But he's still not stealing anything. He's technically not even doing anything wrong. Being a little nutty isn't exactly against the law. He then rips off the plastic wrapping, and that's my cue to step in. Only when I see what he does with the steak, I freeze in my tracks. The toothless man stuffs the raw steak into his mouth, straining his jaws. He tried to mush that thick piece of meat up with his bare gums. I was stunned. It was literally the last thing I expected a guy with no teeth to do. I actually thought he was going to stuff it down his pants or something. I've seen shoplifters stealing weirder stuff and hiding it in weirder places. But to see him actually push that steak right past his lips and start chewing, God, it was the freakiest thing I had ever, ever seen. His eyes start rolling back into their sockets. His cheeks caved in as he started trying to suck all the fluids out of the raw piece of flesh. And the noises he made, good God, if the noises he made didn't scare the life out of me. Like a kind of moaning or something, like he was getting off trying to swallow that piece of raw steak whole, more and more of it being stuffed into his mouth with greedy hands. Watching him spit the meat out, panting and gasping for air, I rounded the corner of the aisle, actually terrified at this point that he would see me as the sole witness to what he had just done. I waited, having somehow managed to half freak myself out watching that weirdo doing that. He quickly escaped the meat aisle, his back to me as he walked quickly towards the main exit. I know I should have stopped him. It was my job to. But we're trained to keep our distance from offenders that we deem violent or unhinged and just let the cops deal with it. However, part of me wanted to know why he did something so gross. Is that why his teeth were missing? What kind of person was he that he couldn't be trusted with his own teeth? The cops picked the guy up eventually. Turns out he was a mental patient off his meds, old guy too, so probably lost his teeth through simple lack of care. I mean, that's what they thought the deal was. Whatever was wrong with this guy, he certainly had previous convictions for retail theft. The cop that we spoke with said it was his fourth offense, that he was likely headed to federal prison for reoffending. I wonder how a guy like that would handle prison. Anyway, I don't know if you guys will find this particular story scary, but maybe it's just gross or sad, a poor old guy losing his mind like that, but either way, it's definitely the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me working for Walmart. Back when it was originally released, I really, really wanted to get my hands on a new Xbox One X. You know the one. It was 4K ready with a considerably faster processor. So naturally, I tried absolutely everything in my power to get one as immediately as I could. My local Walmart was having one of those Black Friday sales, and like so many others, I stood patiently in line, waiting to try and beat the rush to grab one. But I was nowhere near sprightly or fortunate enough to actually get one that way. So after failing to get one in person, I then tried getting one online. But as rapidly as I wanted one to own, the users who were reselling them were asking way, way too much money, and I simply couldn't afford to shell out double, or sometimes triple the price. After weeks of trying to find a way to get a hold of one, I had to come to the conclusion that it just wasn't to be. It was then that I had something of a stroke of luck. Although I had resorted to Craigslist in my desperation, I did actually find someone that was selling their Xbox One X at no more than the original buying price of the console. Naturally, I was skeptical. For the life of me, I simply couldn't fathom why they would do something like that. But one thought overrode all others. If I didn't put in a bid now, someone else would, and I could kiss my chance of owning a One X goodbye. I immediately emailed the seller and let them know that I was very interested. Not only that, but I had the cash on hand and was ready to go. I also offered to pay for gas or whatever it would take to get the console delivered to my door. I figured that would be a pretty appealing offer to someone who, I guess, was just strapped for cash around the holidays. I was stunned to get an almost instantaneous response. stating that they did still have the Xbox and were in fact still waiting for a proper bid from a serious buyer. They politely asked for a delivery address so they could bring it over as soon as possible. I was sort of hesitant to divulge such personal information and asked if it would be a better idea to first meet in public since it was much safer that way. I'll be honest, I wasn't too pleased with the idea of a total stranger coming over to my house, but he informed me that he was going to be very busy running holiday errands all day and that there would only be some pretty specific windows of opportunity to drop it off. It would be much more convenient for him if he was about to come over to my house. I was still not particularly ecstatic about the idea, but oh man, I really, really wanted that new 4K Xbox. So in the end, I agreed and texted the dude my home address. I figured it was safer than me going over to his place. At least this way I'd be on home turf. I was so happy and eager to get my hands on that new console, and that excitement only grew as I began waiting for the guy to turn up. But he took his sweet time. I mean, hours and hours passed by before I began to suspect that he wasn't going to actually show. Around 1 in the afternoon, 4 hours after he was due, I was seriously losing my cool, thinking it was a prank or something. I tried texting the guy back, asking him where he was. Previously, I had gotten pretty timely responses from the guy, but this time I didn't hear a single thing from him. By 6 that evening, I just lost all hope. I assumed that he got a better offer from someone else and didn't have the heart to tell me he picked a new buyer. I was disappointed, more than words can possibly describe. I got myself so psyched and I can't even tell you how deflated I was. It's one thing not to have gotten the item from the store. I could come to terms with that. But I was so close to having one in my hands, it sucked having my hopes dashed so cruelly like that. And that didn't mean I'd given up entirely. So for the rest of the night, I kept looking around on Craigslist and other sites to find a new Xbox One X that was within my price range. But as I was getting ready to wind down for bed, I heard something. At first, I had dismissed it as the wind or something, that it was maybe just my imagination. But then I heard it again. Someone knocking. Not at my front door, but lightly on the TV room window. I walked up to the bedroom window and peer out into the driveway, seeing this strange-looking dude at my front door looking around as if checking the coast is clear. I'm suspicious, but I go downstairs to see what he wants. He identified himself as the guy who had the Xbox, apologized for being so late, and explained he had gotten backtracked with errands during his day. Then, he casually asked if I still had the money. I opened the door all the way, but still kept the screen door closed as a precaution. Something just didn't feel right, like at all. I told him that, yeah, I still had the cash on me, but I didn't see that he had anything with him, so I calmly asked if he had brought the Xbox with him, like if it's still in his car or anything. As expected, he told me it was out in his van. He told me to get the money and come out to the van with him and he would get it for me. I let him know that I wasn't really comfortable walking out to his van, but he seems to understand and tells me it was all good. I briefly look over the guy's shoulder and see that there is in fact someone else sitting there in the van. Not only that, but the dude at my door has been keeping his hands concealed in the little front pouch of his hoodie the whole time while talking to me, and there was definitely something more than just his hands in there. Don't ask me how I could tell. I just could. You know when you just get a gut feeling about something? Yeah, that. I tried to stay as chill as possible as I lied to him that I'd just go fetch my wallet and return in a minute. His mood immediately changed as I closed the door in his face before locking it. I then make the split-second decision, better to be safe than sorry, so I pull my phone out of my shorts and dial 911. But as I do, I heard a loud thud on my front door, then the sound of the van's engine revving before it zooms off into the night. When I went to check and see if he had damaged my door, I nearly peed my pants when I saw a rusty old hatchet buried in the wood. I was right that he had something in a sweatshirt, and that I shouldn't go out to the van with him. Be careful who you're buying from, folks. You never know who's behind the username.